Ah, here comes the first mate. And opening a top hatch, we have surfaced. Ah, Captain Nemo.
Venigo le reton.
Kill me the ras.
Of course, they're bringing in the nets they've cast out the night before.
Behold the ocean, Professor. Is it not gifted with life all its own?
I see we shall eat quite well.
Quite some time. The sea gifted us with a plentiful harvest. Look at it, Professor.
Always moving.
Always life. Life more profound, more immeasurable, blossoming in every droplet of ocean. Here is a real, meaningful existence. I can imagine the founding of cities in the sea, clusters of underwater homes which, like my Nautilus, would rise to breathe upon the surface of the oceans every morning. Free cities, independent cities. And yet, who could say if some despot would... Ah, they've brought the nets aboard. Come along, Professor. Our journey must continue.
As you say, Captain. The Nautilus continued on its southeasterly course, and between the 4th and 11th of December, traveled approximately 2,000 miles. On the night of the 11th, I was reading in the salon when...
Would Monsieur come to the viewing window for a moment, please?
Huh? What is it, Conseil?
You should look for yourself, Monsieur.
A ship?
Went straight down from the looks of it. It can't have been wrecked for more than a few hours.
Monsieur, the bridge.
Mon Dieu, the bodies.
Bound up in those ropes. They couldn't tear themselves out of them.
What could have happened to it?
I have an idea.
There. Halfway through the deadlight.
A woman. A woman!
Holding her baby over her head. Trying to get it to safety.
It wouldn't let go. Look. Its arms still encircled around the mother's neck.
And the helmsman...
still at the wheel. Like you're still steering the ship. Even now.
There, monsieur. On the stern. Can you make out the ship's name?
Florida. Sunderland.
British ship.
What was that?
Gentlemen, I believe we should turn away.
Why? What horrors could be worse than what we've already seen? Why should we turn away now?
Because, dear Ned... the sharks have arrived. That ship was the forerunner of a series of maritime catastrophes the Nautilus was destined to meet in its travels. Still, we continued on our way to the southeastern tip of New Guinea.
We've crossed the Coral Sea in 2 days, Professor.
Then that land ahead must be...
the coast of New Guinea. You'll reach the Indian Ocean via the Torres Straits.
A bad sea.
Quite bad. And not at all suited for something like the Nautilus.
Nemo must be sure of his route. I've seen pieces of coral out there that would tear the hull apart if he even grazed against them. I'll say this for your man Nemo. He's a good pilot.
Ah! Are you all right, monsieur?
Fine, yes.
Let's get topside and find out what's happened. This could be our big chance, fellas!
Kill Tio Okazis!
Minicius,
tiem lata hovenas.
Post celactago sedna este voho de skia sene devos esti vido anteo tiam oni.
Captain Nemo.
Professor, what can I do for you?
An accident?
An incident. The Nautilus has temporarily run aground on a reef, that's all. Not to worry, though. Our hull is undamaged.
If we ran aground at high tide, Captain, then you yourself see that this incident may force you to set foot on the land you've forsworn.
I assure you, Professor, we are far from finished. Our voyage is just beginning, and I do not wish to be deprived so soon of the honor of your company.
But the tides are not terribly large in the Pacific, Captain. And if you cannot lighten the Nautilus, I fail to see how we can be set to sea again.
In the Torres Strait, there is a meter and a half difference between high and low tide. In 4 days' time, the moon will be full, and I dare say that that will raise the water level enough for us to clear the reef.
I see.
If you'll excuse me, Professor, there are still some details to attend to.
Yes, of course.
What do you think, Professor?
We will wait for the high tide in 4 days.
Bah! Take my word that this hunk of iron will never sail again. I think the time's come to take our leave of Captain Nemo.
I'm not going to give up hope so easily.
Hope of what? Imprisonment?
Ned, think carefully. Escape might be possible were we off the coast of England or France. But New Guinea?
It's an island, isn't it? It's got trees, doesn't it?
If the Nautilus is unable to free herself, we will have plenty of time to take our leave.
Monsieur Professor.
Yes.
Perhaps Ned is right.
Ha!
Conseil?
Perhaps Monsieur could ask the captain if we could be taken ashore, so we can remain accustomed to the sensation of earth under our feet.
You know he'll refuse.
Perhaps you should take that risk, and then we'll have a better idea of how the captain views us.
Very well. I will ask. But you know what he'll say.
I tell you, I never thought I'd miss rowing. Ah, smell that, my friends? It's the smell of land and freedom.
Are you all right, monsieur?
Fine. Surprised, but fine.
I did not think the captain would let us go either.
Not only that, he never once made us promise to return to the ship.
Meat! Real meat! No more bread and sea slugs for us, no, sir. Mind you, I like fish, but too much of it, and... Well, I don't know about either of you, but I'm looking forward to a nice hunk of venison on live coals.
Glutton, you're making my mouth water.
We'll have to be careful that the game we find won't end up hunting the hunter.
Gah! I'd eat a tiger if that was the only thing on the island. The first thing I see with four legs and no feathers, or two legs with feathers, gets saluted with a bullet. Let's keep rowing. My stomach can't wait much longer. Come along, you two. Last one to the forest has to carry all the food back!
Shall we, monsieur?
If we are here, we may as well see what we can.
Monsieur, flowers. Can you smell them? So many, all at once.
Yes.
I don't think I realized how much such a small thing and the colors. Such a change from... Monsieur...
Eh? Just my nerves, Conseil.
But, monsieur, how could you feel unease in a paradise like this?
Even Eden had snakes. I feel as though we are being watched.
Monsieur?
Oh, a feeling, nothing more. But still, let's stay alert, hmm?
As you say.
Hello, out there! Come on, will you? These coconuts can't drink themselves.
You go on ahead, Conseil. I'll join you in a moment.
Merci, monsieur.
I tell you, friend Conseil, I'm starting to understand the charm of cannibalism.
What's that supposed to mean, Ned? I hope I'm not going to wake up one day and find myself half-eaten.
I like you a great deal, friend Conseil. But not enough to eat you. Unless I had to.
I'm flattered. But let's find something to satisfy your appetite before the professor only has pieces of an assistant to help him.
Where is the old fellow anyway?
On the beach. He wanted to be alone for a moment.
I tell you, Conseil, he worries me. His curiosity is blinding him to the grave danger we're in.
And your desire for escape is blinding you to our present danger.
Danger? I haven't seen it yet, have you? No, I think a man could be pretty happy here.
What was that? It's coming closer.
Shh! Don't move.
Now, what do you say, Ned?
I say... A bird of paradise!
Quickly, before it flies away too far.
Ha! Delicious, if I do say so myself. Well, Professor, what do you think?
Quite good, Ned. I'd nearly forgotten what terrestrial food tastes like.
You miss it after all, huh? What's so special about that shell, Professor? You've been staring at it since we came back.
This shell, dear Ned, is left-handed.
Left-handed?
Instead of turning from right to left, the convolutions twist from left to right.
C'est incroyable. We must bring it back for further study.
I intend to.
Bring it back? Listen to yourselves. You'd just as soon walk right back into the arms of your warden instead of grabbing the golden opportunity we've been given.
I confess, Ned, I have missed the sensations of the earth. But in this instance, I believe we are safer on the Nautilus. Besides, there's still...
Much to be learned, all in the name of science, eh? And you're not thinking of what it would mean for you to be the man to bring these discoveries to the world?
Of course not, Ned. Monsieur only thinks of the interests of mankind.
I was asking him, Conseil. What's gotten into you, Professor? Did I strike a little too close to the marrow?
Eh? No, only I felt I saw something moving over there.
Oh, bosh! Stop trying to spook us! Let's enjoy newfound liberty, huh?
Monsieur, perhaps we could stay ashore for the night. You know, return to the Nautilus tomorrow.
What about never returning?
Drums.
Yes.
And they don't sound very friendly.
Do not.
Monsieur, spears do not just come from thin air.
Make for the boat, quickly!
Why? We can handle one of these fellows.
One, perhaps, but there's more than one of them out there. We should go now.
Yeah, let's... They're coming after us!
There's the skiff. We must hurry!
Fooling around, are they?
Not when you're hungry, Ned.
Grab those oars!
We're pulling away from the beach.
Pull away faster if you did some rowing too, Professor!
Oh, yes, of course.
Faster! We must go faster!
That's it! If we keep this pace up, we're back to the ship in no time.
Ned!
Not now, Professor.
But Ned!
Quiet, row!
As you wish, but they have boats of their own and they're closing in on us.
That's not good. Lenny, do you see the Nautilus?
Yes, just there, about 200 meters to the starboard.
Show it to us in first. See, or the cannibals.
Not sure which of the two I prefer.
Duck!
Keep watching for those arrows. They're probably poison-tipped.
We are nearly there.
Stand fast, fellows.
Where will Captain Nemo deal with the cannibals? Captain Nemo.
Ah, Professor. How is your hunting excursion? A fruitful one, I trust?
Yes, but unfortunately, we brought back with us a pack of bipeds who are approaching rather quickly.
Bipeds, you say? Of what sort?
Savages.
Savages? Savages? You set foot on land and are surprised to find savages. Tell me, Professor, where on the lands of this globe would you not find savages? What makes your pursuers worse than any others?
But, Captain...
I have encountered savages everywhere, Professor.
They will board the Nautilus if you do not do something.
There's no need for alarm. How many are there?
At least 100.
Even if every man in New Guinea were on the beach, the Nautilus would still have nothing to fear from their attack.
Captain! Cannibals!
A wearisome refrain, Mr. Land.
But they're coming in canoes. They'll be upon us all in a few minutes.
I don't know. They seem more curious now and less ill-intentioned.
What are you going to do about them, Captain?
I see no reason to prevent them from coming aboard, the poor wretches.
I don't believe this. We're under attack and you're just going to do nothing?
They've not done anything to provoke us yet, Mr. Land.
They did attack us on the beach, Captain.
Of course they did. You were trespassing. Seems to be a common happening with you three.
They are about to trespass on the Nautilus, Captain.
Then they will find that it is not so easy to board the Nautilus, even when its hatches are open.
They're coming closer.
Come with me to the bridge, all of you.
They're coming aboard! Captain, just give me a harpoon and a few of your men and...
No, Mr. Land. Let's try this my way.
Your way? You've not done a thing!
They're sending their first landing party on the ship, Captain.
They'll never get inside. Gentlemen, keep your eyes on the deck.
Unbelievable!
That's got him on the run. Nicely done, Captain.
It wouldn't have been needed to be done at all, Mr. Land, were it not for your impetuousness.
Hey, now.
Captain, your device, that lever.
It electrically supercharges the hull plates.
Ingenious.
Now get below, gentlemen. The tide will change in a few hours. We will be off. I will need some time to complete my calculations.
Night came in that night. The Nautilus was lifted from its coral prison. It continued underwater at tremendous speed.
Professor, I ask that you now honor one of the binding agreements between us.
Which one, Captain?
You and your companions will be locked up in your cabins until such time as I see fit to set you free.
Well, you're in command, but may I ask you a question?
No. Professor! Professor? Are you a physician?
Why am I on the floor? I was eating dinner and I must have passed out.
Are you a physician, Professor? I know several of your scientific colleagues also took their degrees in medicine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, I am a doctor. I was in practice for several years before joining the museum.
Good. Would you consent to treat one of my men?
Someone is sick?
Yes.
I'll see what I can do, certainly.
Come.
How did he get this wound?
The Nautilus suffered a minor collision that cracked one of the engine levers.
I see. And let me check his pulse.
It struck this man. My chief officer was standing beside him. This man leapt forward to intercept the blow. A brother lays down his life for his brother, a friend for his friend. What could be simpler? That's the law for everyone on board the Nautilus.
His extremities are already getting cold.
What's your diagnosis? You can speak freely.
This man will be dead in 2 hours.
Can nothing save him?
Nothing. Perhaps if we brought him to hospital, on land, I might...
No! No! He remains here. You may go, Professor.
Captain.
So that's where you left him?
Yes, he seemed shaken by it all. Now, you mean to tell me you don't remember anything that happened last night either?
No. Sleep took me by surprise last night, after I had finished eating.
I fell asleep rather suddenly too, monsieur, right after dinner.
Professor?
Come in.
Professor, would it be convenient for you to make an underwater excursion today?
With my companions?
If they wish.
I would.
As would I.
They are at your command, Captain.
Then kindly make your way to the diving chamber.
Where are we, monsieur?
Some kind of cold kingdom.
Mighty color.
And alive. Perhaps this is the point where life dimly rises from a sleep of stone.
Funny about this spot here. This clearing. It's man-made. Hey, what's that thing Nemo and his men are carrying, anyway?
Don't know, Ned, but...
Look, there in the clearing, a coral cross.
Digging something.
Grave. This clearing. This place. It's a cemetery.
That thing they're carrying is a body.
They're lowering the body into the hole.
Men are all kneeling.
Should do the same. A sailor's a sailor, after all.
Amaro, ni faros via corpo cae spirito.
Amen. They're covering the grave with the coral they dug up.
We watched them finish filling in the grave and then headed back to the ship. When we surfaced for air, I found myself in the grip of a terrible obsession of ideas. So I went on deck and there found Captain Nemo. Your man died during the night, as I thought?
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You've no reason to be.
Is he resting beside his companions in that coral cemetery?
Yes. Forgotten by all, but not by us. We dig the graves and entrust the polyps with sealing away our dead for eternity. There lies our peaceful cemetery. Hundreds of feet beneath the surface of the waves.
At least your dead sleep serenely there, Captain. Out of reach of sharks.
Yes. Sharks. And men.
So where are we now?
Somewhere in the Indian Ocean. We've been sailing about 100, 200 meters below sea level most of the time.
And to think, we were this close to getting off this confounded thing!
I'm sure the cannibals would have been delighted.
I thought you were on my side.
I am, but I'm also on Monsieur's.
And whose side is Monsieur on?
I believe the captain grew tired of being disappointed with the matters of the Earth, and so took sanctuary here. It is only natural that he should return the indifference of humanity with mistrust.
You're not painting a complete picture. Let me fill in the blank spots, of which there are many. Are all conveniently falling asleep during an accident of some kind? The fascination with shipwrecks? That crewman's mysterious death? No, I don't care what you say. He's not content with just fleeing from humanity. Nor does this ship only serve his hunger for freedom. It's an instrument of revenge. And don't tell me you haven't come to the same conclusion, Professor.
For the moment, Ned, little is clear to me. All I know is that nothing binds us to Captain Nemo.
Nothing! He knows we can't escape! But so help me, I'll find a way. And I'll take it the first chance I get. I hope you'll both have enough sense to do the same!
What do you think, monsieur?
I would, of course, take the opportunity for freedom, difficult though it may be. I don't know, Conseil. Considering what we know about him, Captain Nemo, is he a man to be hated or admired? Is he a victim or a killer? Is he both? And I would so like to study the marvels of the seas in their entirety, to see what no other man has seen, even if the price of that knowledge is too costly.
With Monsieur's permission, I'll go to the salon and continue my classifications.
Of course. I can't say.
Monsieur.
I want you to keep an eye on Ned for me.
As you say, Monsieur.
We traveled along the tip of the Indian subcontinent. As varieties of fish swam with us, attracted by the electric light of the Nautilus. From the salon, Conseil and I observed the bony skin ostracion, the scorpion fish, brilliantly colored cutty. As we surfaced to replenish our oxygen supplies, thousands of jumping blennies were gliding over the surface at incredible speeds. Our surfacing so close to the shores of India renewed Ned's desires.
Look out there, Professor. Civilization. Roads, railways, towns. Isn't it time we took our leave of the captain?
The Nautilus is heading towards Europe, Ned. Once we are back in our own waters, we'll see about what we should do. Besides, after the New Guinea incident, I doubt if the captain will let us go on another terrestrial expedition.
Then we go without his permission. What say you? I knew it.
And so we remained. Conseil and I were studying several new specimens we obtained when we were privileged with a strange new sight. The Argonaut is free to leave its shell, but it never does.
Like Captain Nemo. Professor, look.
We must be along the Bay of Bengal now. That looks like a Ganges shark. As does that one.
Up there, towards the surface. What sort of creatures are those?
No sort. Not anymore. They are the dead. Dozens of them. Carried by the Ganges to the open sea.
A shark is striking at one of them.
The undertakers of the sea.
The island of Ceylon, famous for its pearl fishing. Would you like to visit the fishing grounds, Professor?
Very much so, Captain.
Good. It'll be a simple matter to arrange. We'll make for the Gulf of Mannar and arrive tonight. Ceylon, as you'll soon see, is the best pearl fishing of any location. Over the course of 30 days, the Gulf of Mannar is filled with approximately 300 boats, and their attendant fishermen, of course. 10 rowers and 10 divers per boat.
300?
Divers cannot remain underwater for terribly long, though, and due to their strenuous work, they seldom live to an old age. Their sight goes, ulcerations on the eyes, and then a stroke, usually during a dive. By the way, are you afraid of sharks?
Sharks? That is to say, I'm not terribly accustomed to them, Captain.
You shall be, in time. Don't fret. We'll be duly and appropriately armed. Until tomorrow, Professor.
Calm down, Pierre. Hunting for otters and Crespo is one thing, but to run around the ocean floor when bumping into sharks is a certainty. Come in!
Ah, you know something, Professor? That Captain Nemo of yours made a pretty nice suggestion.
Then you know.
He's invited us to visit the pearl fisheries of Ceylon tomorrow. It was most polite of him.
He said nothing more?
Only that he'd already spoken to you about it.
So how's about filling us in on the fishing?
Well, pearls are tears from the sea. A drop of dew solidified. A jewel of oblong shape. A mixture of phosphate and carbonate of lime, and an unhealthy secretion by the organ which produces mother of pearl.
All that?
Oh, yes.
Are there many pearls found in the same oyster?
Oh, indeed, Conseil. Certain pearl oysters are veritable jewel cases. There's a tale of one, though I doubt it, that was said to contain no fewer than 150 sharks.
150 sharks?
Sharks? Did I say sharks? No. I meant to say pearls. 150 pearls.
Professor, is there something you're not telling us about this trip?
Monsieur, is pearl fishing dangerous?
No, especially if you take certain precautions. Oh, by the way, Ned, you're not afraid of sharks, are you?
As a harpooner by trade, Professor, it's my job to make light of the beasties.
Well, I don't mean catching them with a swivel hook, cutting off their tails.
Then we're...
Yes.
In the water. Unbelievable. You can't do anything off this ship without getting wet. Still, with a good harpoon, sharks have to turn onto their bellies to bite you. And in that time, you could...
Fine. And you, Conseil, what do you think of sharks?
If Monsieur means to face the sharks, then I do not see why your faithful servant should not face them with you.
Then I should tell the captain that we accept his offer. And our weapons, Captain? What about our guns?
Guns? My dear man, you don't hunt sharks with a gun. Don't be foolish. Here is a strong blade. Put it in your belt, and we'll be off.
Very good, Captain.
Helmets on!
But, Captain, do not take one of the Ruhmkorff lamps with us?
No, Professor. An electric light might attract one of the more dangerous inhabitants.
Well, in that case...
Follow me down this slope, please. There.
Monsieur, it is a veritable stockpile of oysters.
The supply is inexhaustible. Nature's creative powers beyond the destructive instincts of man. Mr. Land, what do you think you're doing?
Filling up my net with the finest oysters I can find, Captain. I thought that was the whole point of this little jaunt.
Not now. Come along. Into this grotto, please.
It's rather dark in there, Captain. Could not something be hiding in there?
Something is hiding in there, Professor, and it is precisely that which I wish you and your companions to see. Now, follow me.
Monsieur, the walls of this grotto, they are supported by those columns.
Come along, gentlemen. Watch your step. It's a rather steep decline coming up. Why, Mr. Land, you've taken a spill. Do try and keep a better step, will you? And here we are, gentlemen.
Monsieur, I cannot believe what I see.
Giant oyster, Conseil. 2 meters wide, maybe. 300 kilograms in weight.
Behold! The keeper of a treasure far beyond those conceived of by Midas or Solomon. You are to be the first, apart from myself, to see the wonder it protects.
He's prying it open.
It's opening. More and more and... Well, I'd like to see the lady's ear that could wear that.
It must be the size of a coconut.
The clarity. It's a perfect sphere.
Think of how much that would be worth. I could buy an island of my own with... Well, what are we waiting for, Captain? Let's bring this beauty back to the ship. Hey, what are you closing it up for? We came all this way just to sightsee?
I leave the pearl buried in the oyster's mantle, Mr. Land, because I alone, in my own way, have reared it. With each passing year, new layers are added to it. It continues to grow in size and beauty. One day, perhaps, I will add it to my beloved museum.
Superb specimen.
Thank you. And now, gentlemen, and Mr. Land, it's high time we return to the Nautilus.
How much do you think that pearl of his is worth, anyway?
To put a price on such a wonder would only diminish its true value.
Well, try, anyway.
At least 10 million francs.
A pretty penny, by any standard.
What was that? That shape in the water.
Relax, monsieur. It appears to be a pearl diver.
So soon before harvest time?
He doubtless wants to gather what he can.
Has he seen us?
No. He's surfacing. He'll be back for more, the poor devil.
Another is diving.
You see?
To go through all of that? And for what? How many of those oysters end up having pearls in them?
Something's wrong.
He's pointing this way.
He spotted us.
No.
Shark!
He's making for the diver.
Time to prove your mettle, Mr. Land.
Action at last!
Follow me, please.
The shark's turning back toward the diver.
We'll be upon them in a few seconds. Aim for the stomach and the nose.
I know what I'm... Tail whip the diver right in the chest.
He's unconscious. Cut his rope and get him up to his boat. I'll take care of the shark.
But do it now.
Shouldn't we do something, monsieur?
Do something? Like what?
Monsieur, look. The shark. It's approaching the captain.
He's moved out of the way. Stuck his dagger into the beast's belly.
He can't get his dagger out. It's dragging him along. Monsieur! Monsieur, for heaven's sake, look!
The captain's holding on to the fin. He's got the hold of his dagger again.
He's plunging it back into the shark, and again, and...
The blood! The blood!
The shark's rammed into a formation. The captain is pinned.
He'll be killed for certain.
Come on, monsieur. We must...
Oh, wait! Look! It's Ned!
Dagger brought to bear. The diver.
He's not breathing. Oh. Come on, breathe!
Pulse is low. I'll try to get circulation going in his legs.
If there's... To the Nautilus.
A thought strikes me, Captain.
He may have been underwater too long.
Eh? Kwan? Kodese?
Relax. I'm sure I can eat him.
Shukriya. Shukriya.
Monsieur. Captain is giving him a string of pearls.
Indeed.
Tum hareli, zavasta mi unhe kai prayoga kre, takarasi.
Shukriya, shukriya.
Now that he's safe, we should make our way back to the Nautilus. Oh, and Mr. Land.
Yes.
Thank you. Professor, still have the events of this morning on your mind?
Yes, and something else. Something I must confess I was surprised to see.
Do go on.
I could tell you were surprised, perhaps touched, even by Ned's gesture.
I'm certain he regrets rescuing me as much as I would him. Come to the point.
For one who claims to have totally shunned the human race for the tranquility of the seas, you wasted no time in coming to the aid of that poor diver. You've not totally succeeded in sublimating your art.
That Indian, sir, is an inhabitant of an oppressed country, and I am still and shall be to my very last breath one of them.
We have now traveled 7,500 leagues since our starting point in the seas of Japan. We were moving north-northwest towards the Gulf of Oman, which serves as an outlet for the Persian Gulf.
Where are we headed to now?
Wherever the captain's whims takes us.
His whims won't take us far, then. The Persian Gulf has no outlet, so if we go in, it won't be long before we're out again.
Then we come out again, Ned. And if the Nautilus so chooses to visit the Red Sea, there are always the Straits of Bab el-Mandeb to give us entrance.
Ah, the Red Sea? It's as closed off as the Gulf. The Isthmus of Suez hasn't been cut yet, and if it was, the Nautilus wouldn't risk taking itself into a canal like that. So the Red Sea isn't going to be the route we take to Europe.
I never said we were going back to Europe.
Fine. So?
I think after visiting the shores of Egypt and Arabia, the Nautilus will work its way back down the Indian Ocean towards the Cape of Good Hope.
And then?
Well, we shall enter the Atlantic, where we've not yet journeyed. Really, Ned, are you already tired of our journey? For my part, I would be so sorry to see the end of this voyage.
I know. But do you know that we've been prisoners on this barge for almost 3 months?
No, I do not know, nor do I wish to. I don't keep track of the days and hours.
Then what good's that journal of yours for?
It is a record of discovery.
Sure. So where does all this end?
It will end in its own good time.
But what if I were to come and tell you that we had an opportunity to escape?
Then I would talk it over with you. Do you have something you wish to talk over now?
No.
On the 7th of February, we entered the Strait of Bab el-Mandeb, the Gate of Tears. And by midday, we were sailing through the waves of the Red Sea. I, as usual, spent many charmed hours in the salon, observing anemones, polyps, porifera of all sorts, elegant jellyfish, forests of coral, and regatta turtles.
Well, Professor, are you pleased with the sights of this Red Sea? Have you seen enough of its hidden wonders? Have you caught sight of the towns dotting its shores?
Indeed I have, and the Nautilus is perfectly suited to this survey. Ah, it's a clever boat.
Yes, clever, daring, and invulnerable. It fears neither the Red Sea's dreadful storms, nor its currents and reefs.
The sea is one of the worst, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a sea subject to fearful hurricanes, strewn with inhospitable islands. Ancient ships perished in large numbers upon its sandbanks, and no one risked navigating it by night.
One can easily see that they didn't navigate aboard the Nautilus.
Indeed.
Your ship is a century ahead of its time, perhaps several. It would be an immeasurable tragedy if such secrets died with its inventor.
Unfortunately, I cannot take you through the Suez Canal, even in its unfinished state. But 2 days from now, you should be able to see the jetties of Port Said, once we're in the Mediterranean.
The Mediterranean?
You seem surprised.
In 2 days?
Of course.
But the speed you'd need to travel at to circle Africa and the Cape of Good Hope?
I gave no indication that we would be circling Africa or rounding the Horn.
Then I fail to see how we can reach the Mediterranean. Unless, of course, you've perfected the way of sailing over dry land.
Or under it.
A submarine tunnel? Who ever heard of such a thing?
Have you ever heard of the Nautilus before, Ned?
Well, no. But
nevertheless, it exists. So don't discount anything with the feeble excuse that you've never heard of it before.
Well, we'll soon see. I'd like nothing more than to believe in your captain's little passageway, and let's hope it does take us into the Mediterranean.
Ah, the buoy of Suez. We'll enter the tunnel's mouth in a moment, Professor.
Can't be easy to maneuver through it.
No. In fact, I'm in the habit of navigating it myself in the pilot house. We're about to dive and will only surface once we've cleared the tunnel. You should go below, Professor.
As you say, Captain.
Professor, would you like to join me in the pilot house?
I was afraid to ask.
Come along, then. Notran Respok Lornivich.
Aye!
Mi prenos larado.
Aye!
Now, let's look for our passageway.
Very slowly, the Nautilus worked its way along a rough high wall. Captain Nemo did not take his eyes off the compass for a moment.
The waters of the Red Sea rushing towards the Mediterranean. All engines, full reverse! This will slow us down just enough to avoid smashing into the tunnel walls.
I could no longer see anything but dazzling streaks. Traced by electric light of the ship, my heart was beating wildly. Where?
The Mediterranean. Good evening, Professor.
Well, Monsieur Naturalist, how about that Mediterranean?
We're floating on its surface now, Ned.
What? During the night?
In a moment, we'll be passing by the jetties of Port Said.
If you're right, and your captain's rather a superman, I'll admit. So, the Mediterranean. Now, let's have a little chat, eh?
What do you want to tell us, Ned?
Only this. We're in Europe now. And before the captain's whims take us deep into the polar seas or back to Oshana, I say we leave.
This again, Ned?
Frankly, Professor, we're not really coming at this from very different directions at all. I don't necessarily regret this undersea voyage. In fact, I'll be pleased to have done it. But in order to have done it, it has to finish. That's my feeling.
It will finish, Ned.
Where and when?
I don't know.
Perhaps once we've traveled all the oceans of the globe, the captain will bid us a fond farewell.
I don't believe he'll let us go and risk us letting the world know the Nautilus's secrets.
So what's your hope?
That we'll encounter conditions conducive to escape just as readily in 6 months as we will now. Who's to say we aren't heading to the coast of France, Britain, or America right now, where escape could be attempted just as easily?
You talk about the future. I'm talking about the present, right now. We're here, and we've got to take advantage of the opportunity while we can.
Ned, take a moment and...
Suppose that, and this is far-fetched, I know, but supposing that Nemo came to you today and offered you your freedom, would you accept?
I'm not sure.
And if he said that it'd be a one-time-only offer, he'd never make it again, would you accept it then? Conseil?
Conseil has nothing to say. As far as he's concerned, there are only two people in here right now. Monsieur and Ned. That said, he's listening and happy to keep score.
Okay, Professor, so since Conseil doesn't exist, it's between the two of us. I've talked, you've listened. What do you say?
You're right,
Monsieur.
No! No, Conseil. He is. My arguments don't hold water when compared to yours. We cannot count on Captain Nemo's benevolence. We should take advantage of our first opportunity to leave.
Wisely said.
I'm not finished. The opportunity must be the real thing. Our first attempt must be a successful one, because we shan't have a second one.
If a promising opportunity arises, we'll take it.
What do you mean by a promising opportunity?
Say the Nautilus comes close to a European coast on a dark, cloudy night.
And how would you try and escape? Swimming?
If we were surfaced, and close enough to shore.
And if not?
Well, the skiff, then. I know how to work it. We get inside it, remove the bolts, and head up to the surface. The pilot wouldn't even notice.
A worthy plan. Do you want to know what I think of it?
I do.
I don't think this promising opportunity will arise.
Oh, really? Why not?
The captain knows we haven't given up hope of regaining our freedom. He's going to be on his guard, particularly so near the European coasts.
I agree.
Let's leave it at this, Ned. Not another word about it. On the day you're ready, you alert us. We're with you. On that day, I'll put my life and liberty in your hands. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll be in the salon, writing down today's observations. Shalini, 30 centimeters. Sea slugs. Remora, which were rumored to stop ships from... Who's tapping? The viewport? A man! Outside! A castaway! We must rescue him! Captain Nemo! Captain! There's a man in the sea, off to... Captain, just in time. There's a man out there.
Oh?
A castaway, no doubt. We must rescue...
Don't be alarmed, Professor. That's Nicholas from Cape Matapan out there. Il Pesce, they call him. A very bold diver. Water is his element, and he lives in the sea more than on shore.
You know this man, Captain?
Why wouldn't I? There, you can see him through the salon window.
But...
Be a polite fellow and wave back to him, will you? I've already sent for my men. They'll be here momentarily.
The cabinet you have opened. Gold bars?
Yes, Professor, gold bars.
There must be 1,000 kilograms of gold.
Thereabout.
Why are you putting them into that trunk?
Ah, here they are. Prenu la tronco, la cutima loco.
He did not ask Captain Nemo where the gold was being taken. The diver soon disappeared as well. And I returned to my quarters, where I heard the dinghy being taken out. Doubtlessly to deliver the gold to its intended recipient. When I relay this to my companions...
But where does he get it all?
To that I have no answer, Ned. And? Has he gotten hot in here?
The ship's thermometer reads 42 degrees.
42? If it gets even a little hotter, the ship won't be able to withstand it.
Could there be a fire aboard?
Not likely. The ship's alarms would have gone off. So what is he doing, giving the ship a hot bath?
Stay here, I'll go find out.
It won't get any hotter unless we want it to, Professor.
You can control the heat?
No, but I can back away from the source producing it.
So it's coming from the outside?
Indeed. We're floating in a stream of boiling water.
Where are we?
Near the island of Santorini, Professor. In the channel that separates the volcanic islets of Nea Kamini and Palea Kamini. I want you to see the curious sight of an underwater eruption.
I thought these new islands had long since finished forming.
Oh, nothing ever comes to an end in these volcanic waterways. Thanks to these underground fires, the world is continuously under construction in these regions.
In the channel we're presently in? Will it fill up one day?
Very likely.
As beautiful a sight, Captain. We can't remain any longer in this boiling water.
No, it wouldn't be advisable. We'll be underway now.
In the space of 48 hours, we traversed the Mediterranean, and Captain Nemo did not appear once during this portion of the journey. It was clear to me that this Mare Nostrum displeased him. Perhaps its waves and breezes brought too many memories back to him, or too many regrets. Upon passing the Strait of Gibraltar, and having passed a number of fantastic iron ruins of lost steamers, we found ourselves back into the open sea, and the Atlantic Ocean.
It's tonight.
Tonight? Ned.
We agreed to wait for an opportunity. Well, now we've got one. This evening, we'll be just off the coast of Spain. It'll be dark, and the wind will be blowing in from the open sea. You gave me your word, Professor. I'm counting on you. I've already told Conseil. 9 o'clock. Nemo will be shut up in his cabin. The engineers and crewmen won't be able to see us. Conseil and I will make for the central staircase. You'll stay in the library and wait for my signal. The dinghy's ready. Oars, mast, and sail loaded up. I even snuck some supplies into it. Everything's ready. See you tonight.
Tonight? But the sea is rather rough.
True, but every escape comes with its own set of risks. Freedom is worth paying for.
Tonight. So it was that I brought myself to take a last look around this noble vessel. All of these marvels of nature and masterpieces of art, to never look at them again. And out there, my Atlantic, to not be able to examine it with. I found myself at the door to the captain's cabin. Slightly ajar, I looked in. It was empty. The etchings on the wall, Kosciuszko, Ozari, O'Connell, Washington, Maynard, Lincoln, John Brown. What link between them and Captain Nemo? Is he too a champion of the downtrodden, a liberator of the enslaved? Was he part of some kind of upheaval? Music box? A strange tune. What's inside? A photograph of a woman and two small children. A boy and a girl. I wonder if... Then why? 8 o'clock. I should go back to my cabin. I'll make my last preparations, wait for Ned's signal, and... We're slowing down. We're stopping. I have to get out of this cabin before...
Ah, Professor.
Ah, Captain. There you are.
I was looking for you. Do you know your Spanish history? Well...
Not well, no.
Take a seat. Go on. I'm going to relate a tale to you. It will, I am certain, resolve a question you've not been able to answer.
I'm listening.
In late 1702, Spain was expecting a rich convoy, escorted by France. It was a fleet of 23 vessels, under the command of Admiral de Chateaugrenault. Now, they were to travel to Cadiz, but after learning that the English fleet was cruising those waterways, the admiral decided to head for a French port instead. The Spaniards protested, demanding they head to a Spanish port, not Cadiz, then Vigo Bay on the northwest coast of Spain, which was not blockaded. Chateaugrenault acquiesced, and so they entered the bay. You see how the events all fit together?
Perfectly.
The merchants of Cadiz demanded that they receive the ingots aboard the galleons. They complained, and a ruling came down that the convoy of ships remain sequestered in Vigo Bay without unloading until they could safely dock in Cadiz. But the English arrived in Vigo Bay. Chateaugrenault fought bravely, but he was outnumbered. When he realized that the tremendous riches aboard his convoy were going to fall into enemy hands, he burned and scuttled the galleons, and with them sank their unfathomable treasure.
Well?
Well, we are now in Vigo Bay, and all that's left is for you to probe its mysteries firsthand.
Out there, All those wrecks.
Still there, after all this time.
The sand, strewn with pieces of eight. Jewelry?
Members of my crew have been salvaging the barrels and trunks for some time now.
Astonishing.
Did you know that the sea contained such material wealth? You understand now why I am rich beyond even the dreams of even the most power-hungry